whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I used to think James Earl Jones sang this song.
Oh, yeah.
I asked my dad, I was like, why does Darth Vader sing this song? He's like, that's funny, but it's not the same person.
Who is it?
Hell if I know. Some old white dude back in the 50s.
Wow.
You're a sourdough and something sandwich. Shout out, Nick Baronis. I think I'm saying your name right. 37,693 minutes. Listen, top 5%. Some are sicker than others.
That's right.
45-week listening streak. Praise be,
that's
baby.
That's how I know he's a listener, that some are sicker than others, because I've been saying that for 37,693 hours.
From the 913, I'm now a top 15%. Who knew? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I found it. Top 10%. We'll take it from the 816. Oh. From the 815, 36,180 minutes.
Whew.
Ah, my favorite JT song, Richard in a Box. 40,000 minutes in 2024. Dave, listen every day. Shout out, Dave.
40,000. Wow. Way to go, Dave.
Wow. From the 913, been listening since 2013. Had 42,768 minutes, top 5%. Thanks for being the best part of my mornings for over a decade. Merry Christmas, y'all. Also, Dirty Werewolf has been great addition. You too, Mac. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man.
Just so you know, I pick Dusty and Mac, so if anybody has any problems with them, you can point at me.
No doubt. Just keep us along. Somebody says, I don't change the channel from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. every day. Thank you for making my gig at work easy. Thank you. Again, tonight, Fan Friday Football Show, Sean Barber, myself, Desmond Moses, Independence location, Buffalo Wild Wings. Hope to see you there. $5, 22-ounce Bud Lights, other deals as well.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, giggled over here. But it's Friday at 9. Let's get to Richard's of the Week.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
That reminds me of Kirk Cousins going, you like that?
You like that?
Have you seen that video where the guy says you're not that guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
But is Kirk Cousins doing that now? You like that?
You like that?
I mean, he should. I mean, he has a stiff no trade clause and has a lot of money already guaranteed and can make more.
That dude has $25 million owed to him next year.
They need to just put him in the Hall of Fame for his financing abilities.
Oh, he should give a master class on that.
He should.
Yeah.
I saw a video of Penix working out, and they show Cousins standing. He looks kind of sad. I was like, oh, feel bad for you, bro.
Well, I mean.
Somebody's asking, how are people finding this info? So if you found the info, you can let us know. Text line 913-586-7965, and then we can
I know when
help
I
you.
Clicked on the app at the beginning of the week, it popped up, and then I haven't seen it again. I think it's one of those things where it shows you once, and then maybe it doesn't show you again. I don't know.
Who wants to go first, Adventure of the Week?
You're on
Dusty
the list.
First.
Yeah.
But it's not the one I'm going to use.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so as I'm telling Bob this story, I see him grinning like Tim Curry in Home Alone 2 as he's seeing that I'm becoming this person of age. So I have a huge issue with this person who lives across the street from me. I went to Twitter about it last night, and I'm coming to the air.
You are kidding. You went to social media.
I did. Because,
I love it.
Because when technically, when I go to social media, it's either be entertaining or to ask a question that I don't honestly know the answer to.
Now, before you get into who this is, did you post a video of this so people could see? Okay.
No video yet. So across the street from me is this elderly woman, sweetheart, total nice lady. Her name is Faye.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it is her son that lives with her. Kind of a rough guy. Don't really know what he does. Kind of, if you saw him, you'd be like, okay, yeah, tough, you know, rough guy. Showed up about a year ago, hasn't left ever since. I don't know what the hell he's doing. But now he's, just never know what he's, like, what his job is. But apparently now he drives a semi-truck. And he has this rig parked across the street from my driveway and has it running all night long. From 6 p.m. to when I left the house this morning.
How long has this been going on for?
For this entire week.
Wow.
Not only that, this Richard is parking in the opposite direction of traffic, It is a
that drives
semi,
me nuts too.
It's a semi with the stuff on the back, not just the truck. I mean, the whole thing,
the whole 18 wheeler,
the thing you see on the highway,
like this thing going by right now, basically.
It's bigger than that.
Yeah. But so he has the trailer and the cab.
Correct.
Isn't that illegal?
Correct. So that's why I went to Twitter last night. Now, here's the thing. I know it's diesel, all that. I know diesel can gel. When it's like 20 or below, or maybe it's like 30 below, it got to that at like 2 o'clock this morning. You need to be running that thing at 6 p.m., and you can literally hear it through our windows. Like, when we turn everything off, you can literally hear, like, wow. I'm like, dude, first off, that's got to be illegal to have it, like, I don't know, a street in a neighborhood, have a gigantic semi park the opposite way of traffic? Like, that can't be right. Not only that, you're running the truck all night long. Are you trying to, like, I don't know what's going on.
All right.
Am I a jerk? No. Am I the Richard? Or is that a Richard move by the neighbor?
That guy's an ass.
This guy sucks.
Yeah, this guy does suck. Sorry, pal. You got to call the cops.
Me?
Yeah, somebody does. I mean, like, if you don't, is anybody else going to call the cops and say, like, we can't have this, man. Like, this guy's running his truck. Like, I don't care about you. Because what you are doing is selfish and affecting everybody else on the block. And it's having an impact on many different
homes. But
he's
not sleeping in the truck. He sleeps in the house. I watch him go in.
Yeah. And I don't.
Like the other morning, we walked out the same time he had the vest on. And I almost pulled a Larry David and was like, hey, you got to run that thing all night.
And if you're going to run that thing all night, isn't there like a Flying J somewhere around there where he can go find a place to park?
Exactly.
And, you know, like, no. What he's doing is selfish. What he's doing is self-centered, and what he's doing is a Richard move because you being selfish, and because I can do what I want, you're having an impact on everybody else, pal.
Yeah, the guy sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I literally don't know what he does. The only thing he ever did kind is that my roommate's dog got out and he caught it real quick. So we're like, thank you for that.
That's natural reaction.
But the guy, man, and my roommate just said, 6 a.m. saw him getting in the truck to leave. So 12 hours it was running.
Yeah, no, that guy.
And he's not sleeping in it. He sleeps with his... That was weird. I was about to say he sleeps with his mother. He sleeps in his house with
so
his mother's house.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, again, I don't want to be that guy, but, like, this guy sucks.
No, he does. I mean, it's been a week. He's still doing it. Yeah. Have you talked to him, though? Or Faye?
No. Faye, I know, but, like, I never see him. Like,
Would you be willing to go over there and knock on the door?
Yeah. No, not knock on the door. That thing's tainted with cigs, man.
Okay.
I get secondhand smoke just by opening the door.
Okay.
Like, leave a note or something before the cops? Maybe one, like, notion of, like, hey.
Yeah, maybe give him one. Like, say, hey, man, can you turn that off? Do you mind? You're, like, keeping up the whole neighborhood. And if he tells you, screw off, it's a free country, one of those type of dudes, then you call the police.
If someone says, heaven forbid, the guy visits his grandma around the holidays between trips. He's living with her.
Yeah, heaven forbid,
it's
you
not
turn
his grandmother,
your car
it's his
off.
Mother.
Or heaven forbid, go to the truck stop, leave it there, and take an Uber.
I don't know. I'm tired of
like people. Oh, heaven forbid this guy does it. No, heaven forbid he's messing up the entire neighborhood.
Like running the truck all night. You can definitely hear it.
Yeah, no. No. That's not your issue. That's his issue.
This 913 says, I'm a truck driver. That's not legal in most neighborhoods.
No, it's not.
Surely not. No. I mean, it is literally like when you drive home today and you get ready to get on 69 to go home and you see those trucks, that truck is literally across the street from me running all night.
You need to post a video of this.
Yes, I agree.
So just make sure you understand.
Giving away any locations, but
somebody says I should just go give him an extension cord from my garage and tell him Merry Christmas. if that's all it takes.
So that's funny because we had one school bus in my town when I was growing up, and you know it was diesel, and in the wintertime they would always have it plugged in. We would try to unplug it to try to get school canceled. Never worked.
Never worked.
All right, mine this week, pretty simple. I'm just going to say Doug Gottlieb. I mean, this guy's a Richard. He's wondering why everybody's piling on. This guy's been a Richard to people for 30 years, stealing from teammates at Notre Dame. I've heard other stories about this guy. Like, this is why people are piling on, because you have been a Richard to everybody else. You're a pompous, arrogant ass, and it's called schadenfreude. When you dump on people the happiness of the misfortune of others, everybody's going to watch it happen, and everybody's going to watch it burn, and everybody's going to pile on. Because for 30 years, Doug Gottlieb has kind of been a Richard to everybody else. I've been places where he's been there and whatnot, and I just, you know, he just gives off that vibe. So Doug Gottlieb gets it for me.
Love it. That's a good one for me. Simple as well. I'm going to go Tim Settle.
Mm.
Never heard of him.
There it is. Yeah, Texans D lineman who tried to talk trash. Guy. Yeah, that guy. Exactly. Yeah. Tried to talk trash to Patrick Mahomes. But I'm kind of, you know, I've kind of wavered to Dusty on this one. I love it. I'm excited. It's getting me more pumped up for tomorrow. I'm ready to see this guy get wrecked. Mahomes, you mentioned on your What's in the Script, Bob, he's going to look the best he has and the most efficient he has all season. Get ready, Settle.
Yep. Somebody says, Dusty, if you were married, your wife would make you take care of it. Otherwise, she'd make your life a living hell because she can't sleep. LOL. Yes, I just LOL'd a lot. LOL.
But that is an LOL because all of us that are married, like, get over there and take care of it, Todd.
Somebody says from the 816, Dusty, be careful. I've seen this kind of thing on IDTV. He looks like he's been on Cops, but like the Independence version. From the 816, it sounds like he has no heater core to keep his engine warm during these cold nights. Dusty, go to the truck, turn off the truck, and throw the keys in the bushes. He'll never do it again. That's tough. I don't know if I can do that. Oh, man, that's funny. What'd you say after your Tim settled period? What? Anyways, coming up on the other side, our guy Rob Collins, the sexiest guy in sports radio or sports TV, joins us on the roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
As soon as Rob Collins put his headset on, she goes, ugh.
This is one of the worst. Are you doing this just to aggravate us on the last kind of Christmas song of the day?
Oh,
Mac is like, you got to move. You got to move.
First impressions are always great.
I got an answer to your question of who sang the Grinch song.
Oh,
okay.
James Earl Jones?
No, it wasn't. Our friend Kurt Nelson from the Royals Hall of Fame knows everything, right? Of course, Kurt knew, right? Here's the answer, all right? The guy's name is Thurl Ravenscroft.
Wow.
Never heard of him.
That's a name.
That's a name, right? And Kirk goes, whatever happened to the name Thurl? You know, nobody's naming their kid Thurl anymore. Now I'll take it one step further. Thurl Ravenscroft was also, do you know who else Thurl Ravenscroft was?
A Harry Potter character?
No. He was the first voice of Tony the Tiger.
Really?
Yeah. So Thurl Ravenscroft singing the Grinch song and going, you're great. Or they're great, or whatever the hell it was. So there's the answer. You ask, Kurt knows.
That's amazing.
That is wild. Thurl Ravenscroft?
Ravenscroft.
Ravenscrotch.
Never did either. Never heard of the guy.
Thurl Ravenscrotch. Yep, never heard of that guy.
That's right. Never heard of him.
Oh, gosh. Well, Mr. Collins, we appreciate you coming into the round.
I appreciate y'all having me, man. Thank you.
Season's coming to an end. I know you're a Texas guy, maybe not a Texans guy.
No, not a Texans guy.
No. They're like the Aldi version of sports teams in Texas, which there's nothing wrong with Aldi. We just use it as an analogy.
Got it.
We've obviously heard the comments by the defensive lineman this week. Why do teams keep doing this?
I have no idea why you keep poking Patrick Mahomes, even when he's somewhat injured, not 100%. They just keep giving him fodder.
Right. Sometimes
they'll learn. I mean,
when though?
I don't know. Cincinnati hasn't learned.
Right.
Is he still that one guy screensaver? I remember hearing that.
Thurl Ravenscroft's?
Yeah.
He is definitely Thurl's his screensaver. But like, I'm a big studier of history, right? I love history. And I know history doesn't dictate what's going to happen, but it tells you what has happened. And if you don't learn from history, well, then you're a jackass. And so you see, like, over the course of these years, people do this, and then Patrick beats them, and then people do this, and Patrick beats them, and people do this, and Patrick beats them.
We've seen this movie.
Right. This is another great sequel to this, and that's why I wonder, like, you've been around enough, I would imagine, to know that when you poke Patrick Mahomes, he's going to come out in full force, especially now that there are people saying he's banged up, he shouldn't even be playing this weekend and all that nonsense. And then Tim Settle just kind of throws that grenade, and now we're going to have a Patrick Mahomes explosion.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to convince himself that this is the chance they can get him because of the suspect O-line play, especially at left tackle, and Patrick may not be 100%. So, you know, it's like those folks making wild takes, and then one actually hits. You're like, I see, I told you.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know any other reason why you would do that.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at this game, what's your scariest matchup? Is it Mahomes versus that defensive line? Is it that defensive line versus the offensive line? Like, how do you, when you look at this game?
Yeah, I mean, the left tackle is an issue. You got to protect Mahomes. I think their two of their D linemen have 10 sacks each, and I think they're the only two in the league that have over 10. So that's going to be an issue. And then in the secondary, obviously, cornerback two is always an issue. They got some talented wide receivers over there. So, I mean, I think the Chiefs will win. I think they'll cover. But, you know, we've seen these games. We pretty much know how it's going to go other than last week. It's going to come down probably to the last 8 minutes or so, and Houston may have a chance to tie or go ahead at the end. And yeah. Chiefs win by four.
I know. We have the scores here. They're all very close games. I mean, yeah. it's the same movie almost every weekend. But I think this one kind of feels a little bit different to me because of the doubt that everybody put in there. And also because of how important that bye week is for this organization. Like, I think that the folks who are saying Patrick shouldn't play this weekend, I got to be honest with you. I don't think you understand what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs when you say stuff like that. Because if you did, you would understand how vital this bye week is for them. It's like next to winning the Super Bowl, it's their most coveted goal because they get the ability to have a break and essentially a 24-day break before they have to play a true playoff game.
Yeah, if that wasn't the case, I don't think Mahomes would play in this game.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, they could wrap it up with two wins, wrap it up on Christmas Day. That'd be a heck of a present for everybody, including themselves, because they need the rest big time.
They really do. I mean, it's a contender, and a lot of these other contenders have had such a bye late in the season, like Baltimore, week 14. I mean, had the Chiefs had their bye 2 weeks ago, it may be a different story. But you look at week six, October 11th is the last time that they've had an opportunity to just kind of hit that reset button. And at this time of year, with everybody banged up across the league, to have that week off both from a physical and mental standpoint and not have to play four more quarters, that's the dream scenario.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't worry about them taking the bye and then being rusty coming out. A lot of teams do that. We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially it happens in baseball a lot, but we've seen it in football as well. But this team definitely needs it, and I don't think that will affect them at all.
It's funny how you say that, and you're right about that. Like, teams come out rusty after a bye, yet we see them have an entire offseason and then have the first game of the year, and everybody looks good.
Yeah,
you know, like,
I know.
Why is that? You know, it's like, all of a sudden I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, everybody talks about this bye and being rusty off a bye, and why are you rusty off a bye? You had an entire offseason, everybody's playing good in the month of September, you know?
The schedule's off, I guess, you know, because they're so meticulous, especially the Chiefs and Mahomes with his schedule and Coach Reid. I think it just throws some teams off a little bit.
Yeah.
But
that's the difference between a good professional organization with leadership and the Jags or the Colts
or the Bears.
Cardinals or the Bears or somebody that's a bad organization. It all starts with Andy Reid.
Yep.
I look at this game too, and I realize that CJ Stroud's never been to Arrowhead. There's a lot of players in this team that haven't been to Arrowhead, and then yet here's this guy saying that, you know, it's not a promise, it's not a threat, it's a promise, right?
Tim Settle.
Yeah, Mr. Settle. But I also look at this as like, hey, like, there's Joe Mixon on the other side. Like, you think he's gotten with Tim and be like, hey man, come here real quick. Like, we tried this. It didn't work.
Right.
Like, maybe there's like some sort of leadership there where like they've kind of said like, hey, we need to just worry about getting to the game first because they're the ones traveling. They're the ones coming to this stadium. And like I told him, you say the word Arrowhead and every fan in, you know, Jackson, Johnson County, wherever they're from, ears pin up and it's like, you're attacking us.
Right.
You've never been here before. It's not only a thing that you're saying, but now you're putting your team in that situation.
Right. And Mixon, I don't think, is 100% either.
No, he's fighting.
Yeah, he's fighting to play. But I think he told reporters the other day in Houston that he's going to play. So we'll see. But you got to like the defense against C.J. Stroud, especially in his first appearance at Arrowhead. They played so well last week. I know a lot of that was Jameis. He has the proclivity to throw picks. We knew the Chiefs were getting interceptions and turnovers in that game, but to get six, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
So hopefully that starts a trend for them because Spag said it last week. They come in bunches, and he was certainly right. And I think they'll get at least one in this game.
Well, I think so, too.
Yeah, as I say, it's interesting, too, because we had Mitch Holtis on, and they've given up 5% more pressures this year than last year. C.J. Stroud's numbers from this year to last year are down. I mean, obviously, he had just a fantastic rookie season. But you look at this game, Omenihue's back. Since he's been back, Jones is, crazy thing, has been better. Karlaftis has been noticeable, which he wasn't for quite some time, and Mike Dan is still there. That's a ripple effect, right? Like we talk about doing that with life. Like you do that, the linebackers get better. How great was Nick Bolton last week?
Yeah.
Right? Omenihue effect, maybe. You go back even further. Brian Cook looks healthy. Trent McDuffie gets first career number pick. Everybody got a pick. It was an Oprah Winfrey show from the 90s. And I'm wondering if like where the impact is, like, is that duo of Chris Jones and Omenihue more important this week than the duo of Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes?
Omenihue's been fantastic on the defense, and I heard him earlier. He's fired up for this game. He's fired up as well, so maybe he's giving shots back to Tim Settle.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when that video came out, but I heard that. But Mahomes and Kelce are always the key, obviously, on offense. They just got to protect them. I think they're going to run the ball a little bit more because Andy made a bunch of bad decisions against Cleveland. The fourth down calls, both of them, I thought were bad. He challenged a replay official that they already said they looked at it. I didn't know what he was doing there.
Yeah.
I don't know why Butker played. I mean, whenever they kicked the field goal, I'm like, why aren't you kicking it? And then they missed it. I didn't understand that because Tobe told us he wasn't going to be 100% for 2 or 3 weeks, and then he's out there. So that was weird to me. If you can't do the kickoff,
I think it's Tobe.
Tobe.
Well, it depends on who you listen to.
Depends on Tobe. Who's that?
Yeah, I heard that too. But
he did it twice.
You know, it's all Mahomes, and I think they'll protect him a little bit more, knowing that they have a deficiency at left tackle. So I think we're going to have a run-heavy game from both sides, or, you know, quick slant screen, stuff like that.
Is there more of a deficiency at left tackle now or right tackle? Because I really
depends on who's playing.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to assume we're going with the same line as last week. Caliendo was just marvelous at left guard last week. I can't say enough good things about that guy. He was great. And I thought Joe Tooney was really good against Myles Garrett as well. Obviously, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. Sure. You're going against one of the best in the NFL. So with Tooney out there, I think I may have more of a concern with Juwan Taylor, and that's coming from a guy who likes Juwan Taylor, who defends Juwan Taylor from a lot of people. But his game has slipped a little bit this year.
A little bit, and it depends on where they put Will Anderson. You know, he may be going up against him, or he may be going up against Tooney, but Tooney did a great job against Garrett. Undersized, obviously out of position. I mean, he got beat a few times, but his footwork is so good that he kind of recovered and helped give Patrick maybe half second or more.
Now, I had somebody close to the team say the best left tackle all year has been Joe Tooney, and he's not playing left tackle.
I can make that argument for sure, because Kingsley fell off the map very quickly.
Do you think we see that guy again? I know he's only in his first year, but boy, he went from, you know, getting the opportunity to like not even dressing anymore. Like that guy disappeared.
Yeah, I think it might be mental at this point. You know, rookies, because I think the problem was, just from talking to people, that he was thinking too much. Mm-hmm. He's trying to overanalyze, because we know he's very, very smart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's very athletic, but trying to overanalyze pre-snap. And then you can't react because you're thinking of five different things instead of what's right in front of you. I think that's part of it. I think he's, like, to use a golf term, I think he's got the yips.
Yeah, I think so. I think we can talk about that, too, when you bring that up, because Patrick Mahomes is the deep ball. Now, again, he's got some circumstances with the ankle this week, but Mitch Holtis also told us that the Texans will play like kind of like the go for the home run on defense. It's got to happen sooner than later. The last time Xavier Worthy caught a deep pass was week 4 against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. We're in week 16.
Yeah.
Right? You have a team that is finally all back together. Hollywood Brown's going to play. Travis Kelce going to be out there. Yada, yada, yada. Is this maybe a week where, with a team that's kind of a gambler, you know, no Kenny Rogers reference, but, you know, you got to know when to throw them. And you got to have that motion to, you know, get out there. Do you see maybe an Xavier Worthy play coming soon? I mean, I know he's been clutch. Third downs, he's been into that rotation with Mahomes. But I feel like we've got to be there.
Well, Mahomes missed him a couple times.
Yeah.
And then the one big catch he made, he went out of bounds.
Right.
I still don't know why that happened, but I think you're going to see a couple deep shots, especially with Hollywood in, because they're going to have to cover him. Maybe he's a decoy the whole time. We don't know. But they're going to cover him. That's going to leave lanes open, obviously, for Kelce over the middle. And I think they'll take at least one or two of those deep shots.
I think you almost have to kind of keep the defense honest, but also to back to Andy Reid and running the football more this week. I don't remember Andy, save maybe that game in Indianapolis where they blew the 28-point lead, where he kind of took ownership for what happened out there on the field. And I know I keep going back to that, but I think that's a seminal moment in this season right now for Andy Reid and for this team, because even at 13-1, people are, oh, they're not that good. But Andy Reid went out there and said, I messed up. That was my fault, and took ownership for that. Like, you don't see that a lot, unprompted, going, hey, man, I messed this thing up. And I think that's going to change the way Andy coaches, and with what happened last night with the Denver Broncos, with Sean Payton just getting a total F for the last 41 seconds of the half and then the entire second half. Like, Sean Payton lost his marbles in the last, you know, 30 minutes and 41 seconds of that game. And has on his sheet, run it. And everybody's seeing, run it, run it. And he only ran it 8 times. And with the way that the Chiefs didn't run it in Cleveland, I think that really resonated with Andy Reid. And he realized, man, this one's on me. And I think he's going to have a hell of a game on Saturday.
Yeah, well, when you look back on it, they ran 8 straight pass plays.
I know.
And they were all incomplete.
Incomplete.
And then 2 drives in a row, they passed it 3 times each. And I think burned 1 minute off the clock with a 14-point lead. So that was a head-scratcher for me. I couldn't understand that, but I think he knows he messed that up, and just like Patrick, takes ownership for everybody's fault, even though they're not his.
Yeah.
I think Andy did that as well. And like I said, I think we'll see a little more running in this
game. I think there's something to be said for that, too, because when you can admit that you did something wrong, that's the self-scouting aspect of things. Because a lot of times coaches want to tell you they know more than you. And sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And it's okay to say, yeah, I don't know what I was doing out there today. I got lost, man.
There's also those coaches that don't say it like that, right? Yeah. Like, by not saying, like, hey, I know more than you, it's more so like, hear me out. I know what you're trying to do, and let me see if I'm on the same level as you, instead of being like, you know, the strict father that's like, you don't know what I know because I'm older. That doesn't really work with children, right?
Well, it works for mine.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Have you figured that out? Really?
Hey, I've been on this planet 53 years. You listen to what I say. Trust me.
Does it work, though?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
It works
How
for me.
How old are your kids?
My son's 22 and my daughter's 13.
Okay.
They understand dad will turn a boot in your ass if you don't pay attention. So
yeah, no, because I try that. They just look at me and roll their eyes. You know, yeah. I have 15 and 14, both girls. And so, you know.
Well, two teenage girls might. Yeah. That's a little different.
They listen a little more to me than they listen to their mother, but you know, but
she lets them get away with
it. No, she does not. Really? She's the heavy in this whole thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, so now we get it. Now it makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But my wife and my son are the same people, same personality traits. My daughter and I are the same.
Yeah.
So it works out pretty well. I just use dad voice on the daughter and she melts.
She melts, right? Yeah.
Hey. And I just look my son in the eye and say, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit. He's the same height, you know? Right, yeah. So
you're still parenting a 22-year-old. I like that. It never stops.
Yeah. Well, he's living rent-free in my basement.
Well,
so
there you go. Then you're in charge. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dress up there.
Yeah.
What do you remember most about the game in 2019? The playoff game.
Boy.
Because I always remember they ran out of fireworks. And I don't know why that's the first thing that comes into my head. But
I do remember
so
that.
Ridiculously
we
just, awesome. You
we
know?
Were all up in the press box like, man, that's a lot of fireworks. And then they put it on the screen. Yeah. We ran out of fireworks.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That was fantastic.
Right, because, I mean, that's obviously like the metaphor that there was just so much scoring happening by the Chiefs. And I think what I remember the most about that game is three things. And I can rank them. Number one, I think that was the game for me where it was like, as long as that guy that wears 15s in the game, this team is never out of it. And I don't want to hear anybody say anything different because I could be like 24 points down in the first half and somehow had the lead going out of the half. I mean, I believe it was 27-24 at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was 28-24. Either way. The other thing that I remember the most is I think that was the turning point of this franchise as to where they are today. And I think when you watch that game, because of all the previous ones that we'd all been to, the Pittsburgh game, you didn't allow a touchdown, you lost. The Tennessee Titans game is the worst call I've ever seen in my life, other than the Chris Jones roughing the passer on Derek Carr.
Yeah, that was bad.
But the Derek Johnson one takes precedence because of playoff game.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they throw the ball off Revis's face. They catch it. The Indianapolis game, right? The butt fumble. Andrew Luck brings him back. And it's like heartbreak, heartbreak, heartbreak. And then 24-0, staring down the barrel of a 45 in the game that you haven't even really started yet. And then, boom, they win. Then they beat the Titans. Then they win the Super Bowl. Come from behind, come from behind, come from behind. That's where I'm at with this Houston Texans. That's what I remember most about 2019.
Well, and Mahomes has done that ever since. They've been down by 10 points so many times in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl and came back to win. I think that was the moment, like you said, where the fans were like, oh, my gosh, we got the guy. We have the guy. And for the team, I think it was that, you know, at some point when you're a young team, you're like, man, I hope we can win. I think we can win. Mm-hmm. That game proved that. We can win.
Right.
And it's been that way ever since.
Ever since. And I think that's important going into these games. Like the Chiefs are rolling into Arrowhead on Saturday morning knowing they're going to win that game. Houston's rolling in hoping they can win that football game. And when you hope you can win versus knowing you can win, it's a completely different deal. I always talk about George Brett saying, if you drive to the stadium thinking you're going to lose tonight, you're going to lose.
Right.
And if you drive the same thing you're going to win, 90% chance you're going to win that football game.
That's how I roll up to the blackjack table. Y'all better bring some more chips.
Open up your wallet at one point, a butterfly flies out. I want to know because Tooney moving from left guard to left tackle is interesting. As you were talking about earlier, have you ever had to go from like sports to like traffic or like have to do like weather?
You had to do news to sports, right?
Yeah, I've done both.
Okay.
I mean, this is year 30 in TV for me.
Wow,
so
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. But I've what are you laughing at?
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Whatever.
Man. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But no, when I first came here, I was news anchor. And then I was a morning show anchor in Champaign, Illinois prior to this.
Nice.
So I've fluctuated from news and sports both. So, yeah, I've done weather once.
Yeah.
Well, I just made it up, which I think
that's, so that's what they all do.
That's what I'm saying.
Except Bogle, she's the best.
It was in Champaign, and it was back when we used to have the live trucks, the ones with the mast on the top and the dish and all that, not the backpacks that we have now.
Right.
And our weather guy was out on a remote for, I forgot what business it was, whatever, but the live truck died. And so he was 45 minutes away. And, you know, morning show, you do weather like every 30 seconds, seemingly.
Yep.
So you're like, somebody's got to do weather. I'm like, how do I do it? Yeah. They gave me the remote, and I just pushed the buttons, and I just...
That must have been fun,
was fun.
You know, right?
Because I was making up temperatures and using song lyrics, and, you know,
and
was,
just having fun. And you have fun with it. The viewer likes it.
Yeah.
And you still use song lyrics.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I watch them every once
but
in a while.
But that green screen, you can just kind of go, hey.
And they were popping up random stuff just because it was off the rails, you know, after the first time. So they're like, let's just roll with it. And they would just pop up random things. You know, you can put anything in that green screen.
Right.
So I didn't know what it was. They just put it up, and I'd talk about it.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I love that.
It was great.
Hey, at least you had fun with it, though, because sometimes people in the news take themselves way too serious, you know?
I don't take myself seriously.
No, you can't.
I take my job seriously myself, not even close.
Yeah. Likewise. Kind of.
I don't care.
Yeah,
but that morning show in Champaign was great. We had a segment every Wednesday at 9:30 called Wet Your Whistle Wednesday, where someone would bring in booze and pair it with food.
Oh, nice.
We did that for like 10 years.
Love that.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I thought that was something else that you were referring to. So,
no.
Do you wet your whistle on Wednesdays?
Usually working on Wednesdays.
Okay.
So,
what's your days off?
Usually Saturday, but not this week.
Well, obviously there's a pretty big game.
Yeah.
Speaking of Saturday, we'll dive into what Saturday is college wise, football wise, and everything else in between with the holidays here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Now this is a banger. Sorry, we were telling glory day stories of high school back in the day.
Let's go.
That, is it on? Is he on? Is he on? Or is it the other one? He's good? Other one? There he goes. He's good. Rob Collins here from Fox 4. Glad to have you here on this Friday.
Thank
Sorry
you,
to get you up so early.
No, it's all good.
Did you go with a little bourbon and coffee or just coffee?
Straight coffee today, man.
Coffee black? Any creamer? Any almond milk?
A little creamer there. It's usually, since it's cold, I usually drink cold because I just put coffee and protein powder in.
Oh, God.
It's great.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
It's awesome.
That sounds good.
That would be too much energy.
When I walked outside, it was like 16 degrees.
So. Yeah. There's nothing better than a good iced coffee. Not today.
It says it's 19 outside.
Yeah.
Is that real?
I mean, we went into an event last night. It was like 55 degrees. We came out an hour and a half later, 2 hours later. It had dropped 20-some degrees. The wind was whipping. It was like brutal outside last night. It came in fast. I saw you guys actually tweeted it out. Coming in a couple hours, it's going to drop like 20 to 30 degrees. And boy.
Luckily, it's going to be nice Saturday.
Yeah, it is.
What, about 40.
About 40 degrees. That's fine. That's great. Yeah.
But if your seats are in the sun, it's like 60 degrees.
Yeah, no, it's we'll be great. We're sit in the sun side, so everything will be good. For a tailgate, maybe a little bit cold, but a couple of fireballs, you won't feel anything.
No,
you know,
those tailgaters don't feel anything man.
Yeah, we don't feel we're getting there a little bit later this time, but normally, you know, we're there at 6 a.m. when the gate it's open, but we're like, we'll get there about 8:00.
I saw folks already lined up for the Notre Dame game.
Did you see
snowing.
That?
Holy cow. That is crazy.
It's great. It's nuts. Awesome, man. Yeah. They're lined up already for that football game, which I look, Notre Dame, Friday night, snow. I mean, does it get much better than that for your first college football playoff game?
Indiana, too. Battle of the state.
Yeah, big state rivalry.
200 miles apart. I hope Indiana wins. I don't like Notre Dame. So
I think we're all there. I just Notre Dame, to me, is like that team, like the Yankees, the Dodgers. I know they haven't had the success that those teams have had recently, but, like, never did I ever root for Notre Dame. I think Rudy's a jerk.
Have you ever met the guy in real life?
Not in real life.
He's a jerk.
My buddy did. He's like, never meet your heroes, man. No,
that guy, and my wife had to do something with him one time, and she goes, God, what a jerk this guy was.
Like, I covered an event that he was hosting or talking at the podium, but we didn't get media with him.
Yeah.
Because he was from Joliet, right, when I worked in Champaign, because the Bears used to have training camp in Joliet.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bourbonnais, right?
Right.
Right there, so... Yeah, I was just videoing him, but I never got to talk to him.
So. Oh, yeah. Anybody who's had an interaction with this guy's like, that guy's a jerk.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was like everybody has
said that. Bob met him, and he was like Mark Gastineau to Brett Favre.
Oh.
No, I never met, but my wife said it. Now, you have a friend that said, like,
yeah.
I've heard from so many people, everybody has had, like, a negative experience.
So you're saying he's a Richard?
Guy.
Yes.
Yes, big time Richard.
Like the guy that drives a semi-truck and leaves
I heard
an
that on the way in.
Am I in the wrong for that?
No, man.
What would you do in my situation?
Tires, right?
That's no, got to be illegal.
It's got to be illegal, right? It is illegal. It is. Yeah, it's noise pollution, and you're affecting the entire neighborhood.
Yeah. Like, you know, I would say something to him.
You know, we can call Jay Southlanteau. They can come up there and take care of that.
Yeah, dude. Real quick. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But, no, I think it's interesting with the flex of college football this weekend. They're challenging the NFL.
Yeah, a couple
Bob
games
said
on Saturday.
That the NFL's had Saturday games after the college football. 55 years?
54 years.
54
now,
years.
Yeah.
And college football says, okay, here's SMU and Penn State. Here's Clemson, Texas, which I'm sure you'll be intrigued with that one.
100%.
Which you love that, the way that stacks out, right?
Yeah,
like, as soon as you get Arrowhead, you'll get into your Longhorns.
Well, we have a Christmas party. The Fox 4 Christmas party.
That was 9 years on the weekend.
Saturday night.
That's
a
perfect night.
I know. Yeah. I know. Well, I'm surprised that you're still employed after your Christmas party.
I didn't do anything wrong.
This year.
Yeah, this year. I'm always the one everybody keeps an eye on. That's for sure.
That's what I've heard.
Well, checks out, right?
But someday he'll grow up, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying myself.
Yeah, well, that's why we get along, Rob.
There you go.
So when you look at the Saturday slate, like, challenge accepted? I mean, I assume, like, I was looking at Twitter earlier. 18.1 million, I believe, is what the NFL is averaging per game.
Oh my God! Mm-hmm.
Wow. Any college game this weekend sniff that? Maybe the 7 o'clock game, which is the big one, Ohio State, Tennessee.
Maybe because it's standalone.
But 18—that's a big.
I think the Saturday night one has an opportunity to do better than the Friday night one.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, you're a TV guy. Friday night's not a great night for TV, right?
Not usually. I mean, other than high school football season.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's basketball season, but usually Friday's not that big of a viewership compared to the other days of the week, as you said. But, yeah, Saturday night I think probably will be the peak.
Yeah,
I don't think they're getting 18 million. That's a lot.
That is a lot to ask. And especially, you know, with you have a holiday party, we have a holiday party on Saturday to go
it's like
to.
Your people, fifth one.
People are, you know, traveling, starting the travel season as well because, I mean, most kids are out of school on Friday for Christmas break.
Yep, so. Exactly right. So when is the right time to do it then? You know, like when do you do it if you're
Monday.
College football?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Monday would be a good day for college football.
But the NFL has Monday already.
What about
too?
And then Tuesday's Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
So there's bowl games there, I think, already.
So I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know that there's a logical spot. Sometimes you just have to do it and say, you guys have wanted a college football playoff for 1,000 years. We've got it. We're giving it to you. There's
going
to be some NFL games on. So.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily mind it because the game that I care about is at night. It's a standalone game. It's not going to be competing with the NFL. I don't really care about SMU Penn State. Like, you know, if it was on and I was around a TV, I'd pay attention. But, like, Chiefs are playing at noon. Sorry, SMU Penn State. You
sure.
Know?
Yeah, that's not appointment television for us.
No.
I think it's just interesting because, like, I was telling him if I could do it, I would do two games Friday, two games Saturday, and I would stack them around the NFL. Like, I'd do a game Friday starting at 5:30, start the other game at 7:30. Saturday, I'd start a game at 11. I'd do another game at 7.
Yeah, that could work.
You're going to lose that. You're going to lose the 11 game. Like, you're going to get viewership for an hour, and then everybody's going to flip over to Kansas City and the Houston Texans.
Sure.
This is the way it's going to go. But you put your least, you know, attractable game, which they're doing. I think SMU and Penn State is probably the one that, like, not a lot of people are super hip about. But, like, they did it right, put in their big banger of a game on Friday and on Saturday night.
Or you just move it up a week, like last week. What was on Saturday last week? We had Army-Navy, obviously. It's a big game.
That's always standalone.
But you could also move that.
A 2:30 game every year.
Yeah.
So you could have an 11 game there. And
Joel Klatt made a good suggestion. Said, make that a week zero game and start the season with Army-Navy.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, I kind of like that. Then it opens up last weekend where you can start your college football playoff, and then you're not playing on Saturday against the NFL.
That's an interesting move. But I like the Army-Navy game if it's snowy.
Yeah, you do.
That's
just
awesome. I love that. That's one of my favorite games to watch every year.
It's one of the best sporting events I've ever been to. I mean, it's so patriotic and just
awesome.
It's fantastic.
And not to debunk that, but is there a game that you won't watch if it's snowing?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? I mean,
snow,
like,
games are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. They do make it much more intriguing.
I don't know. If the Bears are playing some random team in Chicago and it's
like snowing. If it's Bears-Patriots in New England, are you watching that game if it's a blizzard?
Probably not.
Nah, I'm kind of with you on that one. Like New England and the Dolphins,
Yeah, no.
I don't know. So you think Chiefs win this game and cover 3.5? They go 2-for-2 in their last 2 weeks after going 0-for-7?
Yeah, I think they will.
Okay.
I think, and it may be a little lower scoring, I think, because what we talked about earlier about running the ball, it was a total of 41.5, 42-ish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 42.
So
41.5, so 42.
We had, 19-17 2 weeks in a row. So
right, yeah.
Probably in that range.
I think it's 2013.
2016-ish.
So you're taking the under.
Probably. I'll watch a line, just depends on, you know. But it's a great game to do a teaser on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you think the Chiefs are going to win, you know, if you think they can really cover, you tease it up to 7.5, 7 points, you'd gain a little bit more of the plus money there. You brought up a good point. Sorry about choked on my own saliva there. You brought up a good point when you were at the press conference that the line just immediately shifted once Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Have you ever been a part of that? Like, obviously, gambling's more efficient here now
sure.
in sports, but.
Yeah, you pay more attention to it, right? But whenever Mahomes was hurt, the initial line, I think, came out Houston was 3-point favorite or so.
Oh, yeah.
And then after the Chiefs sent out the practice report, that's when I saw it. After they sent out the practice report on Twitter, the line popped the other way.
I've never seen a line move it that much.
Yeah, 5.5 points.
That quick.
Yeah. But luckily, like I told you, when the Chiefs' initial line came out, they were plus 130 on the money line, so I hit that.
Now they're minus 155. That's insane.
That's nuts. I mean, that is crazy. I mean, it just goes to show you when everybody still wants to doubt Patrick Mahomes and talk about, you know, Josh Allen being the greatest thing we've ever seen, even though Lamar has better numbers this year and Patrick's put up better numbers than, you know, Josh has. Everybody's sitting here talking about how great everybody else is. Then Patrick Mahomes announces that he's going to play and a line moves like we've never seen a line move before. He's still the number one in this league.
100%, yeah. I mean, Josh is going to win MVP, but not going to win the Super Bowl.
No, exactly. Yeah, you can have all your MVPs you want, but you're not getting Lombardi this year because that's what Patrick Mahomes does, and that's all he really cares about. And that's the cool thing about it is it's all about winning that Lombardi trophy, whatever it takes to get there. And that's why winning two of these last three games is so important to get that number one seed. And that's why he's playing.
100%.
Yes. Rob Remsen, right? He's the one that left that Texans game the last time they played this game. Is he still at Fox 4?
Our producer?
Yeah, your producer. He's the one that left, right?
I don't believe
so. It was a different guy.
Yeah. Charles.
That's right. That was Carrington's buddy. That's right. He was the one that attacked him for leaving. And you guys, I think, did like a cover story about it. Should I be able to come back to the game? No, you stay home.
Yeah, you're gone.
That's right. Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Are you going to Pittsburgh or is Harold going to Pittsburgh?
Harold chose to go to Pittsburgh.
Okay. So you get to have Christmas with the fam then, Harold.
I'll be working, but I'll be here.
Well, you have a Merry Christmas,
y'all
Rob.
Too.
Merry
appreciate
Christmas.
You. Yes.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you all. And
Merry
don't
Christmas,
forget,
everybody.
It is a good time to go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe. Coming up next, it's just Gold and Drew from 10 to 2 here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Merry Christmas.